Welcome back into the National Hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, and we are streaming for listeners on the Alt Stream on sportsnet.ca, Sportsnet app, and once again, uploaded to all platforms, including YouTube. Sammy?
The YouTubes.
The YouTubers.
Yeah.
Ever go onto the comments there?
What a war zone.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
Are you nuts?
I'm just asking you because they're...
Buddy, my mental health's worse enough watching the Leafs. I don't need that.
I remember when I first started doing this, my mom calling me and being like, they're saying mean things in the comments. I was like, don't go in there.
Once in a while,
where you want to spend time.
Once in a while, my boy Donnie will fire me a funny one.
Yeah.
Or like one that he's like, this guy was being really mean. Eh? I'm like, Donnie.
Yeah, I don't need
I stay out of there for a reason.
Yeah.
Some of them can be pretty funny and clever, though, well, too.
So confirmed comment reader. So if you're commenting...
Every once in a while, I can poke my nose in there.
Every once in a while, everybody.
Every once in a while, just for a good chuckle. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, Rob Brown, former National Hockey League, does a great job covering the Oilers for Ched, will talk to us about the comeback boys in Edmonton, who now, Sammy...
Yep.
First Canadian team to go back-to-back conference finals since when, Sammy?
Since the Toronto Maple Leafs in the early 90s.
Correct.
Really?
Mm. Yep.
Nice accomplishment.
Nice. Yeah.
Does this feel different?
Listen, I'm still reeling after that Leafs hour, trying to like gather myself to talk about the very excellent Edmonton Oilers.
No, we're going out west. Can you hear the chuckles?
Oh, yeah. No,
can you hear the Westerners loving the Leaf woes right now?
Did you want to play before we get to Rob Brown, the Connor McDavid clip that I grabbed? Or do you want to play it after?
No, let's play it now because... Okay. Yeah, a sense of frustration a little bit from the captain, Connor McDavid, despite going to the conference final. Let's have a listen.
I mean, how many times are we going to answer this question, really? Like, honestly, that's frustrating that we keep talking about this. We can defend. We can. We've showed that time and time again. You know, come into a tough building and win a 1-0 game when it matters most. We can play that way. We can score goals. We can, whatever it takes, we can win games.
Okay, I'm convinced. Connor, you don't have to tell me twice. I'm convinced. Against LA last night, 1-0 on the road. 1-0 on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the way some of those Kings games looked, it would have been a fair question. But in this series, it's not a fair question. The Kings.
But when they needed it, they shut it down.
Sure, sure.
But it's crazy. We're talking about that Panthers D with like Big Mikkola and Long Jones and Strong Ekblad and Forsling the way he skates and these great D. And it's going, man, Kulak, Bouchard, Nurse, Stetcher, Walman, Klingberg, they, maybe you don't love the names as much, but they as a unit have been really, really good.
Klingberg.
Klingy.
Klinger. Never like, in a million years, boys.
I thought he was expensive at, 1-2, or I'm like, but he's coming in and he's giving them solid minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How many minutes do you think John Klingberg played for the Edmonton Oilers in their series clinching victory last night?
I don't know.
2103.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, he's plus 20.
And he played the game before 12:36, and then in game two, he played 24:30.
Yeah.
He's pivoting those hips out there, boys.
Those hips are firing. Yeah. They've been resurfaced.
The bionic man.
Ready to go.
Kapanen.
Oh,
the hero
good
this time
for
around.
Kapanen.
That's the beauty of these playoffs. Hey, you could be a forgotten guy and then score one goal.
To the net front, screen, try to get a tip, go to the blue paint, stop, dig, dig, dig. Playoff, overtime, winner.
Look at Hill. Just... No shot.
A soup sandwich in there.
Yeah.
Kapanen actually misses the first swipe and keeps going.
He looked all road hockey goalie right there.
Look at
Aiden Hill.
Oh, what a feeling.
Like not the pad. The pad's not even it's in the net.
Yeah. Kapanen's had a circus of a run here, team to team and trying to find his footing. Yeah.
Couple clutch goals for him in his career. He scored a double overtime winner for the Leafs last time they went to double overtime.
Yeah, backdoor from
Brian Boyle. Yeah, yeah. Scored a World Juniors clinching goal for Finland.
That's right.
Scored the overtime winner against Russia, I believe. So he's had a knack of scoring these overtime winners.
He's fast. He's strong. He can shoot. Yeah. He does a lot of things good, which is why it's frustrating that they don't get that all the time.
No Mark Stone, too. That's a
big
game changer.
Captain.
Vegas hitting a bit of a fork in the road themselves where, you know, kind of some of their stars aging out.
Well, that's just it. Now all of a sudden people are saying Vegas too old.
Well, you know, Stone can't really stay in the lineup, and I guess Eichel's still a good age, but, you know, when they were so successful, it was Marchessault and William Karlsson and Riley Smith, and their D's still good, but Petrangelo's not getting younger.
I love
Hanifin.
I love Vegas for no other reason than, like, they put so much pressure on other teams around the National Hockey League to get, like, it's embarrassing, first of all,
for a lot of other organizations
to have watched Vegas go to a final in their first year and then win a Stanley Cup mere years later. And it's like, good on them. They may have the highest bar out of any team in terms of the expectations out of Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee to want to win every year and then be crushed when they don't.
And all that praise, like, and the Oilers dismissed them.
They're waking up today shocked that they're out of the playoffs right now.
We got Brownie.
That is the great mindset. All right, from one great mindset to another, let's go to Rob Brown, who might have some time off now, depending on if series get closed out or not. But Oilers could have themselves a nice rest here, Brownie, on what wasn't really expected, a fairly short series against Vegas. How did you see it play out?
Well, I am pretty excited about having the long weekend off. It's been tough. We get all the late games out here, so you get late games. It goes into overtime, going to bed at 2 a.m, then up the next morning on the ice. So I am so excited it went short. I thought the Oilers would win the series, but I did think it was in seven. I didn't think they could win it this early. Having said that, all the games were close, and the Oilers just seemed to find, as you guys were just talking about, clutch players came at big moments. I don't think anyone saw, after this series started, Skinner having back-to-back shutouts, Kapanen coming out of the press box and scoring the clinching goal. You got Stetcher on the back end, who came into this series and I thought was very, very good in this series. He had the trust of the coaching staff from the very first game. So many unsung heroes. And if you want to be a championship team, you need that. And I think that's the Edmonton Oilers right now is a very, very confident group going forward.
So, Brownie, if we had someone sit down and played every Rob Brown on Kipper and Bourne interview from this year, there were times, I think, where we were like, I don't know about this Oilers team. And we kind of know about this Oilers team now, right? Like, I know you've always been an optimist and you've seen that this potential has been there. But what has changed for them to hit the high note, to find exactly their potential?
Well, it's funny. I know that, I don't know if you guys had the sound bites from Connor McDavid last night. Some of the questions, he was a little snarky.
I know.
Answers. And the questions were along the lines, well, have you guys finally figured out how to win this game this way? And I mean, the Oilers went to game seven last year of the Stanley Cup.
Lost
finals.
By a goal.
They lost by a goal and played very well on the road in the final game. Easily could have gone their way. And over the course of that playoff run, they won a bunch of different ways. So they felt that this team was going to be a contender this year. They ran into some injury problems. Goaltending wasn't always great during the season, but the question marks that all the press and media had and the social media and the fans had, the Oilers weren't worried about that. And I think that's when you saw some of the answers by McDavid, some of the answers by Nurse. This was our expectation all along. So what has gone right for the Edmonton Oilers this year? Both goaltenders have stepped in. Stuart Skinner, who I don't know if anyone has taken more abuse on social media than Stuart Skinner here as in Alberta and Edmonton the last little while, he quieted a lot of the noise with back-to-back shutouts. They got, you know, their backup goalie came in and went 6-0. And in a series, if before the series, you would have told the Vegas Golden Knights, you're going to hold Connor and Leon combined to 3 goals in the series. They're going to be just 6 points each in a five-game series. The power play is going to be 1-for-11, including a five-minute major you're going to kill off. The Vegas Golden Knights are probably thinking, we probably win that series in five games instead of losing it. So without Connor and Leon being Connor and Leon, which we expect, them just being only really, really good, not great, the Oilers won a series on the back of, you know, the third line of Kane and Hendrick and Connor Brown. On the fourth line, I think it was game one or two, where the fourth line scored two goals. Kapanen came from the press box. And he was, so really, if you're the, he was the 14th forward because Jeff Skinner played ahead of him. He's the 14th forward. His first game back after sitting nine games, he's playing with a guy that could win the MVP this year in Leon Draisaitl. So he goes from 14th forward to playing with Leon, helps shut down Jack Eichel in game four, and then scores the game winner in overtime. So they've just got contributions all throughout their lineup. And this team is deep. This team is talented. They can win a 7-6 game. They can win a 1-0 game. And right now, they're just brimming with confidence, and they should.
You're watching and listening to Rob Brown, former NHL forward, covering the Edmonton Oilers for Ched. So you can talk about players going from kind of goats to heroes, and, you know, same thing sometimes with management in terms of the decisions that they make that ultimately we can all question, and then they find a way to turn out. And, you know, Trent Frederick to me was one of those guys where I'll be the first to admit, well, how could you trade for a guy hurt, and where's his value, and when is he going to be worth the price that you paid? Evander Kane, we weren't even sure if he was going to find his way in the lineup at all, necessarily make an impact. And both those guys have completely changed the look, in my opinion, anyways.
Yeah, you're right. And they became a team with a little more swagger through physicality. I mean, in my era, there's no way I come back from 10 months off and play a game, let alone play as well as Kane has been. He's been dominant, driving his line, a physical force. He creates swagger for this team. He drags his team into a fight, whether they want to or not. If he's on the ice, there's going to be a scrum. And then Frederick just, they become tougher to play against. And he's only playing 9 minutes a night. It's not as though they brought him in, he's playing 20, 21 minutes. Playing 9 minutes, but in those 9 minutes, he'll be physical. He'll get involved. He'll finish checks. He'll punish. When he hits someone, he's like a farm boy, where when he hits someone, you feel it. And you look at some of the huge acquisitions the Oilers made last summer. Arvidsson, not playing right now. Jeff Skinner, not playing right now. Emberson, not playing right now. Josh Brown didn't play all year long. But some of the subtle changes they made during the season, getting a Frederick, getting a Kapanen, getting a Klingberg, who I think has exceeded everyone's expectations. So it wasn't the big splashy ones that have been a difference for the Oilers. It's the Stan Bowman subtle ones. And they have just they just fit in nicely with this Oiler team. I said that before, and the biggest thing that I've seen with this Oiler team since Chris Knobloch has took over, the adjustments he makes as a series goes on, second to none. And sometimes you question it when you saw the lineup, Leon with Kapanen and put Coles in for game four. I'm like, okay, you got your league-leading score type guy who's got 50 goals scored. He's playing with a guy who was played 9 minutes the game before in the fourth line and a guy from the press box. You're like, why? Yeah, well, they shut out Eichel, and then the next night they scored the game-winning goal. So Knobloch and the coaching staff is as good as any, if not better, than any other coaching staff when it comes to adjustments during the series. In the last one, two, six series are proof of that.
So with all the goaltending questions, the Pickard injury ends up kind of working out. Like, they get to give Skinner has a rest. He gets to come back in, and now he kind of looks like the best version of himself. And I would say good Skinner is a very good goalie, and he looks confident.
He does. He wasn't blocking pucks. He was swallowing pucks last game. And he just laser focused. And he had to block out a lot of noise, because when Pickard went down with injury here, the social media was huge. And there was this big, huge sigh. Oh, my goodness, we can't with Skinner. But they keep forgetting that Skinner took them to game seven last year and was great in game seven. And when Skinner is on his game, very little movement. He's not flailing around. He's set for the shot. He's reading the play. And I think right from the very first shot of last night's game, it was a shot. It was high. It wasn't a completely difficult shot, but he just snapped it out of the air, brought it back in, handed it to the ref. And it's like, okay, I'm ready tonight. So the fact that Pickard got hurt allowed Knobloch to change without having any controversy. They go to Skinner. And even with the game where they lost with the goal late at the end of the game, and everyone was blaming Skinner for that goal, he just rebounded and stopped what the next 47 shots in a row. So I believe this is Stuart Skinner's crease, and things are going to have to go sideways for him to come out.
Brownie, I assume that Edmonton Oilers fans will just love to see Dallas and Winnipeg beat each other up here for another, three games. But by chance they don't, and Dallas comes out of this, are a lot of people already talking about the matchup?
They are. It's to me, if they play Winnipeg, they're going to be playing a very, very good, hot Winnipeg team, because they will have had to have won three straight games.
and a tired one, possibly.
True. Winnipeg, to me, I think, is the more physical of the two teams, and that will be how they will come in and play against Edmonton. But I agree. I think Dallas is probably winning the series. What Dallas has is a fantastic goaltender. I've watched a couple of the games. Ottinger has been excellent. I think Winnipeg and Dallas have been pretty even in a lot of the games, but Dallas's goaltending has been better. The difference between this year's Dallas team and the team that the Oilers beat last year is this team this year has a superstar. You know, they got a lot of really good players in Dallas and had a lot of great ones last year, but they got Rantanen now. And this is the Rantanen that Carolina was expecting to get, and it didn't fit there, but Dallas has got him. And the games that I've watched, I think I'm seeing more from him now than when you saw him with McKinnon, because when McKinnon played with him, McKinnon had the puck all the time, and then Rantanen would get open and Rantanen would finish. But Rantanen's now a playmaker and a goal scorer, and he's a big man that you can't push around. So they will challenge the Oilers. They are deep. They got good defense. Heiskanen, if he gets back up to full speed, he's one of the best in the world. But again, as what I said with you guys last time, I have a really hard time betting against Connor and Leon. And if it's Dallas, I still believe the Edmonton Oilers are the team that's going to come out at the end.
You mentioned earlier the adjustments Knobloch makes. You know, here in Toronto, we're watching a Leafs team that keeps kind of banging their head against the wall with the same lines, the same structure, and just believing that their best will be good enough at some point. How large are the changes that Knobloch is making in these series? Is it substantial from game to game?
Oh, it's substantial when you think of the lineup. Like Leon Draisaitl, who to me, I have him in the top three in the world, and I think this year might have been the best player in the National Hockey League. And in game four against a very, very good Vegas Golden Knights team, his line mates were Podkolzin, who had played on the fourth line the previous number of games, and Kapanen, who was in the press box for nine straight games. And that's who you just put out with Leon Draisaitl, who could win the MVP. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Yet the line worked. And it's Knobloch could figure that out. He put Stetcher in, who'd sat for the first, I think, nine games as well. An undersized defenseman playing against a big Vegas Golden Knights team. And Stetcher came in and was excellent. He was able to get out of trouble because of his speed of both his feet and the speed of his brain. He thinks the game well. In the midst of games, all of a sudden he decided, okay, here's a face-off. This is who I want out there. And just everything seems to work for him. I think the biggest thing for the Oilers is in the past, when things would go sideways, they would get frustrated and at times would take undisciplined penalties. I think with Knobloch, you have a very calming influence in the dressing room and on the bench. And I think they've taken his demeanor as part of their identity now. Nothing seems to bother. This is a very disciplined hockey club. They rarely take silly penalties. They don't give you freebie power plays. So Knobloch he understands the game. He understands what his team needs at any moment. He's made goaltending changes in the past. Last year, he changed away from Skinner, went to Pickard, and Pickard came up with a huge win in the Vancouver series. And again, this year, goes to the backup goaltender, and the backup goaltender delivers six straight wins. So Knobloch has got his finger on the pulse of this team, And everything he's done so far has worked out. And sometimes it looks like, okay, you're trying to think, how does he figure this is going to work? And at the end of the night, you're applauding him for having the guts to make what you would think would be a difficult decision. Yet afterwards, you're like, okay, actually that made sense now that I see it from afar. So he's a veteran coach without the experience of years of being a head coach. He seems to me, they won the first series. I thought LA was a fantastic team, but they got outcoached by Chris Knobloch. And the second series, I think Bruce Cassidy's a fantastic coach too. And a couple of the games could have gone the other way, and the Oilers won the overtime games, which was a difference in the series.
Brownie, we know that in Dallas, Miro Heiskanen comes in and gives like that organization a shot on the arm coming back with the thought that they got their number one guy back. What would Ekholm do for Edmonton, and how early do you think we could see him in a potential conference final?
It would be huge. There was a lot of people that didn't think the Oilers would get out of the first round without Ekholm.
Yeah, I'd be one. I'm raising my hand, Brownie.
He's that good, Kipper. Like, seriously, he is that good. He's a guy that when things are going sideways in a hockey game, okay, let's get Ekholm out there. He will settle the team down. You put him out first minute of game, last minute of periods, any important situation, he's on the ice. And he gets the job done time and time again. So having him come back, it will be huge. It just gives you, you're adding your number one or two defenseman to a defense that has already played really, really well. You're going to see him in the third round. I don't know when. I mean, they have been really quiet other than saying he's skating lightly. He hasn't skated, I believe, with the team yet. It's on his own. This is a huge advantage having all these days off before the series starts. It's just a longer stretch for him to get ready. I would hope and I would think that when he comes back, he will be a 20-minute a night guy plus. I don't think they will bring him back a minute earlier than they need to or want to. I don't think they're going to force him back. Oh, it'll be important against Dallas. I think they will bring him back when they feel that he is going to be in for the duration. And if he is, this Edmonton Oilers team, which is already really, really good, will get that much better.
Last one for me, Brownie. Not sure how much of the Toronto Florida series you've taken in, but the Cats, what do you think? Edmonton, Florida, does Florida look as good as last year?
I think Florida's better than last year.
Oh,
I think if you look at Florida's third line, you got Brad Marchand, is it Lundell, and I can't pronounce the kid's name. Yeah, they all played in the Four Nations Cup.
I know.
Their whole third line was in the Four Nations. And so they're deep. I think the addition of Jones on the back end, there's a guy that can log 28, 29 minutes. Bobrovsky has been fantastic in the last few games that I've watched him play. I think Florida is better than they were last year, and they won the Stanley Cup.
Hey, stop it. Sammy's going to cry. Sammy's crying right now.
But I already know. Like, come on. You don't think I know? Come on.
Now, and you know what? I cheer for Toronto. In a perfect world, I'd love to see the Leafs and the Oilers in the finals. I think the entire country would shut down for 2 weeks. I really hope, and I hope, I'm fortunate out here working in Edmonton. I get to see Connor and Leon play on a nightly basis, and I get to see superstars at their best. I know how good Marner and Matthews are, and Nylander and Tavares. I hope that at the end of this series, maybe we're seeing, look at how great they were in game 6 and 7, and they took the Leafs over the top. I'd love to see that, because I know what it's like in Edmonton when things are going sideways, how loud the media and the social media gets. I can't imagine what it'll be like in Toronto if it does not go Toronto's way tomorrow night. So I hope Toronto comes back in this series, but they are going up against a Stanley Cup winning team that knows how to win, and they're healthy. So I'm not holding my breath that Toronto can win, but I do hope. I'd love to see the Leafs, and I'd love to see their stars turn it on for two games here and get this series going.
There's still breath, which is something to be said after last night. Brownie, terrific stuff as always, man. We're going to be leaning on you throughout the conference final. Hope that's okay. Love having you on the show, pal.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Brownie. Appreciate it.
Rob Brown.
Oilers are so good.
Yeah, this is here's the difference between them and last year is there's a real feel that Connor and Leon don't have to win it for them every night.
And what do you think the value is of having been there, been through it, know what it takes now? They've seen it right to the bitter end.
Yeah.
They know what's ahead of them. They just took care of Vegas in five. That's no small thing to rest up for a week while Dallas is, they're hoping for Winnipeg to just lay the.
They are dying for a Winnipeg win tonight.
They're going, we need a win while you have Shen, Stanley, you know, Lowry, all these guys doing their thing.
Absolutely.
Before game time, just a reminder, after the break, we'll have Daryl Ray, Dallas Star TV analyst. He'll help us tee that one up tonight.
In Winnipeg. So he's there getting ready for a big game tonight. Game time?
Game time, baby.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So I just wanted to quickly bring up the series odds for the Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I'm quickly doing it here. You're not going to be able to. What's your guess for the
series odds, for the Leafs to win the second round?
Mm-hmm.
+600.
They are +525 to win the series. The Florida Panthers, if you want to bet on them, they are -750.
Whoa.
And
okay.
How do you really feel?
that is nasty.
I will give Bet365, our beloved Bet365, credit, where I was making fun of them and I was saying the Leafs are disrespected and they are heavy favorites. The Panthers are heavy favorites all the way through. Never let me get a good price on my happiness hedge. Never got to do it. And now you look at it, it's like, God, it's almost like they got this figured out.
I'll tell you what, I watched 10 minutes of that game last night and immediately went and bet the Leafs to score 0 goals in the game.
Oh my God, really?
Oh, you lost money when Nicky Robertson
throws in the backhand of the minute left. It cost me like $100.
No. So
like, come on. Well, I bet like 10. The odds were massive that they would get a goal. You know, so I got great odds and +800 or +900.
Leafs huge underdogs as they've been all series. So I mean, they can't expect to win as such big underdogs. What are we so upset about? And two games on the ice tonight, both on Sportsnet, of course. Carolina looking to end the Washington Capitals season. They are big favorites, -165 as they've been all series long. We also made fun of them for that. So maybe Bet365 knows more than us. And the Dallas Stars are in Winnipeg. Winnipeg, big favorites tonight, -130 on the money line.
Come on, Jets.
Stars, +110. I would love to watch more of this series. Give me a Jets win tonight, -130. Come on, Jets. Jets talk. Go, Jets, go. You got this tonight. So, anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, let's take a quick break. And as we mentioned earlier, Daryl Ray, Dallas Stars TV analyst, will join us right around the corner after these words. More Real Kipper and Bourne coming up next.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kipper and Bourne Show, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll talk to Daryl Ray, get a real feel for the Dallas Stars and the Winnipeg Jets. And he is ready. Daryl, how are you, man? Looking at tonight's game and wondering, is it really possible that Winnipeg could go, I guess, this quietly if push comes to shove? How do we talk about tonight's game?
Yeah, Kipper. I mean, it would be surprising, right? I'm sure they're hell bent on trotting out the same game that they did in game two, which was what they'd done throughout the regular season against the Stars, especially in their building where they just don't give up anything. They build a lead. They all the things that made them the best team in the regular season in the entire league. Hellebuck stopped everything. He was excellent in that one. One of their top players was outstanding offensively, and that was Nick Ehlers. And the Stars are likely, wanting to put together one of their good, just everybody on board, road games, special teams and goaltending maybe be a difference maker for them. It certainly has been in past. And I think Jake Oettinger's probably thinking in his mind that he's going to have to be as good, if not better, than he was last game in order for them to close him out, because they're throwing everything at him tonight.
Razor, we watched round one, and it looked like Colorado might be able to take advantage of a somewhat weakened Stars team. No Robertson first, no Heiskanen. I think Seguin was a little late entering the series. And all of a sudden, you sit there and look at the Dallas Stars and go, oh, like they're kind of loaded again. Have they been gaining strength as playoffs has gone on?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the year of that, Justin. Like you rarely in past, in my mind, have seen teams actually add to their group either immediately at the beginning of the playoffs or as it's moving along. And the Stars certainly fit that mode this year. You know, Sagan was out with hip surgery. You had Robertson who got injured in game 82, and then he comes back into the playoffs. You had Heiskanen who was out for 3.5 months. So it is a little odd that way. They survived at times in that series against Colorado, and one of their real strengths is their penalty kill and their ability to stop momentum with that within games. And they just stifled the Avalanche's power play outside of MacKinnon. I mean, nobody did anything against them with the extra man, and they relied heavily on that and a former Avalanche star that is a Dallas star now. And when Mikko Rantanen went to a different level, to a level that I don't think most of us have ever seen before, where a guy just takes things over and basically says, you know, crawl on my back, watch this, hold my beer, whatever you want to put in there, and just took things over. And then he carried that into game one in this series and on into the series. It's just been an incredible addition to the Stars.
You know, when we talk about Rantanen and what he's done and how the market in Dallas has taken to him, of course, we know Dallas is Stanley Cup champions with the greats of Nieuwendyk and Modano, Darian Hatcher playing like a mule that year. How does that compare to, you know, what Dallas Star fans are seeing with this new wave led by Rantanen?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kipper. Like, you know, and I would add back then Yuri Lehtinen, who was as instrumental in things as anybody. You know, like he rode shotgun with Modano and Hall. He was the quintessential Dallas Star. You know, you're thinking of a group that had Bob Gainey and, you know, the Selke ownership that he had with Montreal. You had Guy Carmineau and the Selke ownership that he had. And then you had, you know, your modern day guy in his prime in Yuri Lehtinen. You know, there's some similarities probably because that group back then from, you know, the disappointment of losing in game 7 to the Oilers in 97 and then on into, you know, pretty deep into the playoffs the following year and bow out to Detroit. And then they win in 99 and had to add some pieces. And then they go to the final again in 2000. And you look at this team that's gone to back-to-back Western Conference finals, you know, built up some experience and probably some calluses along the way. And now you add into that mix a guy like Rantanen. And they, and as you mentioned earlier, like getting healthier as they move along, like, this isn't done yet by any stretch against Winnipeg, but they must feel like they're in a better spot than they were a year ago when they were forced to actually overplay, you know, their defense. They rocked 5 defensemen most of the time in the playoffs last year, and this year they're really super deep at that position. And in some ways, I guess you could look at it and say, well, they've swapped out Joe Pavelski, who was obviously in the 11th hour of his career, for a guy like Mikko Rantanen, who's just getting going.
Yeah, that's worked out pretty well. You mentioned that decor and the changes there, how deep they are. The evolution of Thomas Harley to me, I don't know how, you've watched it happen, so you've kind of seen him coming and all that. It kind of felt like for a lot of Canadians watching Harley at the Four Nations and being like, oh, we have another one of these great guys. you know, should we have been shocked? Has he been this good as he's seemed to everyone then and since then?
Yeah, he, you know, they did their draft and development with him. It was like a masterclass where, you know, he showed all kinds of ability offensively and to play at this level, but they wanted to make sure that he had his base defensively and spend a little longer. I think Jim Nill comes from that old school Detroit where they used to talk about wanting their prospects overripe once they moved up to the National Hockey League and, you know, spend some time down there focused. They just wanted him to focus on being a better defender. And you can hear him even now when he gets interviewed, he talks about that first and foremost. Like, you know, he wants to be that guy. Like he was killing penalties for the Stars, and Miro Heiskanen was running the number one power play. And then when Miro it damaged his knee and went out of the lineup, it was really the first time for Harley to sort of spread his wings offensively at that side of special teams. And the power play took off, and he was a major, major component on it. You know, plays against all the other team's best forward lines, runs that side. He, in the playoffs, he's playing both sides of special teams, heavy minutes, and he can take heavy minutes. So it's almost like they have now with the opportunity to fill that void of not having Miro, it's like they have two number ones. And man, that's quite a luxury to have a couple of guys who can be like a one-man breakout because he skates so well and delivers the puck so well. And then on top of that, I think Pete DeBoer talked about it after the Four Nations that, you know, difficult spot for him to have to jump into those games the last minute and, you know, pending whether you're going to play or not going to play and brought in late. And he's so chill, like he's very laid back. And he's probably one of the individuals that could handle something like that and not get all frazzled by it. So pretty unique and special, really special young defenseman.
You're listening to Daryl Ray, Dallas Stars TV analyst, the Stars and the Jets tonight, 9:30 Eastern, Sportsnet, CBC, Game 5. So, Daryl, you mentioned Miro back, of course, great. Everybody's seen their number one defenseman, superstar. The promise, I think, from Pete DeBoer was to make sure to manage his minutes back. I think he was under 15 minutes, but could we see that expand? What did you see out of Miro in that first game that can make us believe that he can get to the level that he was at quickly here off of that lengthy knee injury?
I saw a slower Miro Heiskanen, which was shocking. You know, like so many times when a player has like a step or sometimes two steps on him, he skates so well, like he just catch him and he uses his stick like it's just an extension of his arms, like it's organic, and uses his feet so well defensively. And he couldn't catch Kyle Connor on a little race up the ice. You know, Ottinger managed to make the save on it, but it was just weird seeing that because that never happens. Understandable, like jumping back in and coming off a knee injury, and he was at least a quarter step behind a little bit, but he's such an incredibly cerebral defender. Like he can sort things out in his mind and figure things out quicker. Like he anticipates so well, and he's in such a good position all the time. And he was certainly relying on that in his return. I suspect he'll get a little more comfortable. I don't think they want to weigh him down, but that's always score affected in these games. And it was just good, I think, for everyone on the star side of things, is A, see him back there, have that poise, the ability to hang onto a puck and make a play, especially on the power play. That's why, you know, I think his only point in that game came on the power play, and, you know, the game slowed down and kind of stationary in the offensive zone probably feeds his game better right now. And he'll only get more comfortable and better as it moves forward.
Razor, what did you expect you would see from the Winnipeg Jets in this series, and what, if anything, has surprised you about their play after four games?
Yeah, that, I mean, it's a good question. Like, they were so impressive at times in the regular season. You know, I just go by the head-to-heads with the Stars, where they a couple of the games in Winnipeg here were like over midway through the game. Like, they just had, it was like checkmate. They had them. The Stars couldn't get going. They wouldn't allow them to get going. They're such a terrific team with a lead. You know, those things. I guess one of the things the Stars have done well so far in the playoffs, in my mind, is they've taken the opposition's strengths and sort of made them weaknesses, if you will. You know, they did that against the Avalanche, where, you know, one of their huge strengths, they were sizzling with their power play, and they just stopped it in its tracks. And they made sure that Cale Makar couldn't beat them by himself. And the MacKinnon tried, and he couldn't do it. And then you look at this series, and, you know, they want to make sure that Connor Hellebuyck doesn't just dominate things, and they've done that. They haven't allowed the number one power play in the league in the regular season to get going. They've only scored one power play goal. So they've been really good at that. On their side, they have to feel like they need, you know, something more from the guys that were so consistent offensively for them in the regular season. And saves, you know, that big save at the right juncture that has been spotty at best. From Hellebuyck, to have that return to where you have to earn everything you sift past them, and that hasn't happened yet.
Daryl, speaking of the goaltenders here, Ottinger a few years ago made that remarkable debut, I think, of a lifetime there versus Calgary, right? And it was one for the ages here. Is there some thought that Ottinger can hit that type of level again here? And not to get ahead of ourselves, but if you're going to play this Edmonton Oilers team now, man, it's almost going to, Dallas may need that type of goaltending that Ottinger provided in a game 7 versus Calgary a few years ago. Is there confidence that he can hit that high note?
I think I saw something on social media that this is actually the anniversary of that game 7.
Wow.
Against this date. Yeah, what a debut. He almost beat him by himself. Like, that was a massive advantage on the Flames side offensively, and he had them all bunged up.
Oh boy, did he
with
ever.
His brilliance. Definitely. I'm always a firm believer in if guys do it once, they can do it again. You know, and he's a more mature guy, obviously, now with a ton of playoff experience, where, you know, when you watch him, like last game, the Jets were the better team, but he's so good and comfortable at reading when to get out and attack guys and cut angles, when to stay back. I think that's probably the maturity of a netminder, just getting more comfortable in pretty uncomfortable situations, I would think, with all that traffic and, you know, high-end guys coming around. And he just looks placid back there. At least he did last game. I suspect they're going to, you know, send bodies and vulcanized rubber at him repeatedly tonight and try to test him a little more. But, like, his rebound control, all the mature things at that position, he's been really good at. And he's a very driven individual. He's got his big long-term contract now. He stated it after the game in Dallas after game 4. Like, he's got two things on his to-do list, two boxes basically, and they're nothing to do with anything individual. He wants to win a cup, and he wants to win an Olympic gold medal, and he wants to be the guy in net for it. So that's what's on his plate looking forward. And he certainly has the ability to back it up. He's shown that.
So between a superstar in Rantanen and the Stars being a game away from a conference final and an NBA first pick overall, correct, Sammy?
Yes.
Good time for Dallas Star fans, right?
Yes, they are loving life down there. They've been able to witness the team taking, you know, lengthy runs, and that's ignoring the 2020 bubble when they played in the Stanley Cup final. So there's there's a little bit of expectation that's built up down there, and they enjoy this group. They like the way Pete DeBoer team plays. You know, they're fairly giddy up. They like to pressure all over the ice. I think most teams are trying to move in that direction now, and they've embraced the Finns. Somebody said to me the other day they should play three anthems for the games.
Not a bad idea. Keep them happy.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good times. You know, springtime hockey in Dallas, Texas is a blast, and the Stars would like to give their fans a lot of it here going forward.
Awesome stuff. Have a great call tonight, Daryl. We sure appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Enjoyed it, as always.
Daryl
thanks,
Ray,
buddy. Appreciate
covering
it.
The Dallas Stars.
Yeah, they're going to be a handful going forward.
So you mentioned them getting the first overall pick, the Dallas Mavericks. You forgot to mention the other part of the Dallas Mavericks story, where they traded away a generational beloved superstar for nothing. Well, not for nothing, but in the grand scheme of
who
things.
Who didn't fare well.
He didn't. So
good move.
There's definitely probably the general manager, Nico Harrison, has probably had some conversations where he's like,
did they get out early in time?
I was right. Just like the Leafs should have done. Got out early.
Anyways. You guys missed the first hour if you're just joining us for the NHL one.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
I'm so happy that's over.
We let them know. But you know, you talk through it. It's like therapy, right?
Yep.
Now you're ready to reload and get hurt again.
And what's great is that we'll know when we come in here on the holiday Monday.
Yes.
We will know.
Okay, so tell me what the Jet fans are feeling right now.
Terrible. Down 3-1 in a series.
But they're going home?
Yeah.
Hellebuck will be great.
Yeah, but then just let me check the schedule. They got to go back on the road.
But I love the way that works out. I love the way, because you go home, a game you should win, you know, whatever, you do your best. Then it becomes, if we get that one, we get to go home again.
The Jets should feel a lot better than Leaf fans.
No. I mean, the Leafs fans have a statistically much better chance to win their series than the Jets do, right? They've got one extra win. Like, I mean, listen, statistically I don't think the stats bring in a lot of the ghost factors we've been talking about here, but I think you're excited about a playoff series game at home. You're excited, but there's existential dread in the back of your mind with Jets talk. No, like you're like,
buddy, at home, Hellebuck has been good. And there's more here from this offense. You know, a couple of guys took a while to find themselves in the series or in playoffs. Vilardi and Ehlers were injured. They're back now. I still feel like it's a team that can sort themselves out. Dallas is obviously kind of max capacity too, but start with one.
Isn't there a Seinfeld episode where Jerry's girlfriend looks good in certain light?
Yep.
And then is the light different on Connor Hellebuck at home and when he's on the road?
What changes fundamentally? Well,
like, tell me what.
He has the best bed of all time at home. Like, his bed is worth 15K. Like, he just sleeps perfect.
Sheets.
It's custom. And then he gets out on those hotel beds and he's like, oh, me back. And he just starts falling all over the place. That's got to
be
it. That's got to be it.
If that's the case, the Jets would pay to ship the bed.
They would. Like,
they'll drag it around
with fly
us.
That bed.
The best version of you.
Yeah. I don't know.
If at all possible.
It's weird.
Give me a score.
I think the Jets win tonight.
They have to win.
Yeah, 3-1. 3-1, 4-1.
We failed to mention that there is another hockey game tonight. Carolina and Washington do play tonight.
I mean this sincerely. There is? Okay.
I actually was typing the lineup I got here today. So sour. And I'm like, what's on TV tonight? Have the Canes won that series yet? Like, I was like, I actually like had the thought in my mind.
It's happening in a
way. I should plug it, eh?
Yeah, it's on.
7 o'clock.
Yes, on Sportsnet.
So give me a score
but
there.
This game's on at 8.
Washington at
Who cares
home?
To who cares? That's my score.
They've got to win.
Stankoven hat trick.
Wow.
The Rantanen Bowl in the Cup Final on the horizon.
Our thanks to Daryl Ray, who's joining us. Enjoy your hockey games tonight. As Sam reported earlier, there is another game.
Yes.
Carolina and the Hurricanes. A little over an hour on Sportsnet. Don't go away. Just hang out. From our show, right into the games. And we're back tomorrow. Do it all over again. We got Doug McClain on Friday.
I'll text him. He's traveling all over the world, though, isn't he?
Off the rails Friday. Oh, yeah, we'll find him. He's got a lot to say.
Okay.
Enjoy your night, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.